So the first point from last week is, what is work? And the definition is job or labor. So one of the things I wanted to continue to point out about that section is especially that work is broader than job or labor, that from which we derive our income. And it also might be different depending on what stage we are in life. You know, whether we're children, teenagers, young adults, entering the workforce, or at the end of our working time and into retirement, there's a number of things that continues to be our work that is not necessarily just what we are compensated for. And one of the things, John 17:15 applies to this in a way of how sometimes we just want to get away from work. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has thought that from time to time. So one of the suggestions I had this week was, this is in Jesus' prayer for his disciples in John 17:15. It says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So right there we hear that we continue to supposed to be part of the world, working in the world, but not part of the world. I should say that. I saw Josiah's frown. Thank you for that. So Jesus would keep us from the evil one. And in our work is certainly one of those places that we need to consider that thoughtfully. The next point is God's works, and we are called to bear his image. We talked about being image bearers last week. Followed by God derives satisfaction from his work and gives us the ability to do so ourselves. Point four says God provides for us through our work. Of course, he does that and also allows us to provide for others through our work. Point five is man works in obedience to God's commands. And so at this point, I'm going to ask Matthew McGarvey if he would read the fourth commandment as it is presented on page 19 of the booklet.
6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
Thank you. I would like to reiterate one of the things about work, and we talked about this last week, but how important it is to consider our work in light of God's word, of the commandments, of the gospel. And I think that, especially in our culture, but I believe it's probably been throughout history, one of the temptations that we face, and I'm talking about among Christians, is allowing work or our vocation, the busyness that we feel, to somehow give us a justification to skip over, especially the fourth commandment. So I wanted to dwell on that just a moment. Think about how easy it is to be distracted by work. Y'all all know pretty much recently, in the middle of one of these that I wanted to hear very much, we had an alarm go off at work, and I had to go to respond to that. So I used my own self as an example there. But I would like to point out that if we are all thoughtful about, you know, each of the commandments, especially that one, and how easy it is, how many people around us are breaking the Sabbath, and how it looks like we could possibly fall into that very easily. So, our next point is the sixth one. It says, God holds us accountable for our work. Of course, we talked about that last week, and that what he expects of us. The seventh one, God provides particular gifts to meet particular needs. Another thing I had pointed out to me, I'd like to point out to you, is refer to Ephesians 4. And especially verse 7 and 8. Says, but to each one of us, this is talking about spiritual gifts, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And so, Ephesians 4 talks about these gifts and how he's equipped us for our work through these gifts. So the word gift literally means donation. It appears in connection with spiritual service only in Ephesians 4, 7, and 8. And Paul explains the phrase, he gave gifts to men, as the Christ, as the ascended Christ giving to his church persons called to and equipped for the ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Also, through the enabling ministry of these persons, Christ bestows a ministry role on every Christian. So, amid many debated questions regarding spiritual gifts in the New Testament, three certainties stand out. First, a spiritual gift is an ability to express, celebrate, display, and so communicate in Christ in a way that builds up and strengthens the faith of other Christians and enlarges the church. Secondly, spiritual gifts may be broadly classified as either abilities of speech or of loving, practical helpfulness. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul's list of gifts alternates between the categories of prophecy, teaching, and exhorting. They are all gifts of speech. Serving, giving, leading, and showing mercy are gifts of helpfulness. However much they differ as forms of human activity, all are of equal dignity when properly used as the gift that one has, according to 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And then third, no Christian is without some gift of ministry. I'll say that again. No Christian is without some gift of ministry. That's from 1 Corinthians 12:7 and Ephesians 4:7. Then it is every believer's responsibility to find, develop, and fully use whatsoever capacities for service God has given them. So now, in our review, the fall's impact on our work, the next point that we went over last week, we don't need to forget how profound of an effect it has on our work. And then the ninth point, right where we ended last week, is work is both individual and social. We went over a few things there. So now we're going to start back with point 10. That's on page 27. God takes pleasure in the beauty of work. Scripture does not frame our work and the calling to work simply in terms of functional utility. We are complex human beings with various interests, aptitudes, and passions. So the work we are called to is multidimensional. Pay attention to the complexity that he has built into the creation, which he describes as very good. We had this talk in our house last night, I think again this morning. We have been hatching eggs, and we were talking about what an amazing thing. You can take something that we had for breakfast this morning and put them in an incubator or under a hen for 21 days, and that edible egg yolk turns into a completely functioning baby chick. And it just never ceases to amaze me how awesome God is in the simple things like that. So he takes pleasure in that, and certainly we can also take pleasure in it and recognize what he has done for us. So if we are to praise and glorify God as he deserves, we would do well to open our eyes to the various dimensions that are part of our daily work. We serve a God who desires to be worshipped in the beauty of holiness. And we are instructed, whether ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Point 11 is Christ worked as part of his active obedience. Cultivating biblical godliness as it regards our daily work begins with understanding our work in a scriptural manner. Beginning each day with intentional consciousness of what it is we're called to do, and praying God's Spirit may sanctify our motives, our thoughts, our actions, to conform us to his image, also in the workplace, orients us in an entirely different manner from most other workers. I would encourage you to do that. It does work. It works amazingly well. I'm sure all of y'all too have faced challenges. And if you start the day off seeking the Lord and the Lord's will and to honor him, all of the issues that we might have seem to fall into place so much better. I see some nodding heads. I know a number of y'all have had those same things happen. So, point 12 is vocation. We all face the question, how do I know what God is calling me to do? And I speak especially to the teenagers and young adults who are looking forward to that, but it works for all of us. Again, as we talked about earlier, in different seasons in our life, it would pay us to continue to ask that question to ourselves from time to time. So the first of these is, what are my gifts? And of course, we don't want to fall into the trap of an exaggerated self-importance, nor a false modesty that fails to account for what God has given you. That's the two ditches. One or the other. So we want to get in the middle of that if possible. Second, what is your passion? Glorifying God through our work will come more easily when our work engages our passions. Of course, y'all all know this about me as a mechanic. I can't think about anything but how an engine runs and how it sounds. So that's my passion. So I get to enjoy working without really working. Of course, sometimes our passions and gifts are different And it is helpful to recognize both. Next question is, what is your temperament? You know, some of us are people persons. Others, not so much so. Some like short-term projects. Some enjoy and prefer long-term projects and work. And then the last question is, what are the needs of God's kingdom? And that question surprised me just a little bit, so I thought about it a bit. And it is, it certainly should be in that group of questions and maybe at the first. It is important to examine our gifts, not just in terms of the impact on our own career, but also in regard to the broader needs of God's church and kingdom. So, in conclusion, we have sought to establish from the Scriptures that doing our work well is to be human. In the most positive man as image bearer of God sense of that word. The vast majority of those who go to work each day with only self-satisfaction, earnings, or status as their motivation, go home each night disappointed. However, the believer with a biblically informed perspective goes to work each day with loftier expectations. Work is ordained by God, a place where we can use the gifts that we have been given and discover more of the glory that He has embedded in His perfect creation and to be used to Him in His kingdom.